Well, let me introduce old Phil here. He's been leading a group. Him and Rebecca's been leading a group, and been having pretty good success. And he's been doing a lot of teaching and meditating and guiding people toward the Spirit. So we're just going to turn the time over to him.
Thank you.
You want the lights on you better?
No.
We're going to spend a lot of time with our eyes closed, so okay. I don't know that it makes a difference. All right. So
by the time you get to that point, hopefully everybody's here.
Well, yeah, so I like that we're doing the meditation part in the morning, because sleep is a real problem when you're meditating, and I would hate to fall asleep on you guys. So when we're meditating, you want to be relaxed and you want to be comfortable, but if you are struggling with the physical body, you're going to have problems. Right? If you're tired, you're probably going to go to sleep and have nice dreams and not really get a good meditation. Who here has had a vision before?
Define vision.
Vision. Good question. Where you're seeing things that are not fit without your physical body. You see things with your spiritual body, your spiritual eyes, right?
You mean not like etheric, but like your mind's eye, or just...
Mind's eye,
okay.
Yeah. What was that like?
Well, back about 1971, I was living in a little apartment, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I woke up in the middle of the night and I looked up, and there was a hole in the ceiling, and it was like blue white light coming through.
Oh, there it is.
And there was a face with a blue white turban and kind of brown skin looking at me. And it was about 30 seconds. He looked at me. He nodded, and I nodded back. And That was the vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so about 30 seconds?
Approximately.
Uh-huh. And you just woke up?
Middle of the night.
Middle of the night. Uh-huh. Okay. And who else? And where were you? What happened?
I was 15 years old. I had been praying, and a vision opened up to me during the prayer.
And while you were in the vision, were you aware of your physical body?
I wasn't paying attention to it.
What were you paying attention to?
What I was seeing.
Okay. And
what I was hearing.
Were you there? Were you seeing something and hearing something that can you describe that a little bit more? What was...
I think about the scripture, in the body or out of the body, I don't know.
Okay.
I seriously don't know.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Anybody else want to share not their experience, but what it was like to have a vision? I'll share an experience I had. I had just talked to a guy who I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I knew what he was saying was important. And I was just struggling to figure out what he was saying, and I had enough pride that I pretended like I got what he said, you know, where I'm like, oh yeah. And in my head I'm just thinking, I have no clue how this works, what you're saying. I was just completely lost. And I was on a mission at the time in Ireland. And we left the guy to go to our next appointment, and while we're walking across the field, we're walking kind of rushed through a grassy field, and mid-step I just had this amazing vision, and in my experience it lasted about 15 minutes, but when I actually, in real time, earth time, it was just snap of a finger. And in my vision, I lost all awareness of my physical body. I had no comprehension that I was actually walking in the field anymore. Next thing you know, I'm flying through space and being told and seeing things, but all of my experience of the physical world just shut off. And all of my experience of this vision experience, I was engrossed in it. It was in front of me, it was all around me, it was behind me, I was there. It was like I wasn't physically walking in the field next to my companion anymore. And I learned all this information, and I went and saw some other stuff, and it was like about a 15-minute type experience. And next thing you know, I'm back in my body, walking in the field next to my companion. And the time that had elapsed, I remember very clearly that it was between one step. I hadn't taken one step, and I had all this information and had this experience of being fully engrossed in this vision. Other people that we've talked to have had visions where, for example, they wake up or they see something, they're looking, and they're in the environment that they started in. One person we talked to had an experience where he was sitting at a desk, and all of a sudden light came into his room and just filled the room, and the next thing he knows, he was talking to the Savior and having an experience with Christ. And then it ended, and then he came to himself. And when you have these visions, oftentimes the vision is concluded when you come to yourself. You become aware of where you are. You return back to yourself. If we look at like Joseph Smith's first vision in the garden, it says he came to himself and found himself looking up, lying on his back, looking up into the sky. And so he came to or awoke to himself. So that's kind of what visions are like. And when we're, there's lots of different ways to do meditation. My favorite way is to invoke a vision or invoke the experience of being able to call on the higher realms, realities, whatever verbiage makes sense to you, and gather information that wasn't available to you here and now. Now, in the scriptures, in the holy writings, we learn that prophets were able to, at will, go and gather information. One of my favorites is Nebuchadnezzar's dream, where Nebuchadnezzar has this dream and he brings all his holy people to him and he says, "Hey, what does my dream mean?" And all the holy people couldn't figure it out, so he kills him. Okay, not holy. And then Daniel comes along, and the king says, "Tell me what my dream is." And he says, "Well, okay, what happened in your dream?" And he says, "No, you tell me the dream and what it means." Okay, right? So, but Daniel pulls it off. He pulls it off. He says, "Okay, I got this. I can do this." And so as we get to more developed in our ability to meditate, we're able to, at will, go and seek information and go and have that experience because we choose to, rather than it coming upon us. When I was walking in the field, that was one of my first visions, and it just kind of happened to me. A lot of people, we don't know what triggered it. I know now that I was really focused on trying to understand what this guy was talking about, and I've learned since that anytime I want a revelation, I have to put in a certain amount of effort or energy into getting it. And I know that level of effort to the point that I can say, "Okay, let's do this." And here's what it takes you have to invest. You have to invest a certain amount of energy or effort. But when I was first doing it, I was just thinking about it. I really was trying to figure it out, and then it kind of came to me. It sounds like your experience, you were really praying, trying to invest. If you invest that much energy, you get an experience like that. It is a repeatable type thing. Okay. But the ancients, the thing I want to call out is that the ancients were able to at will say, wow, I'm lacking some information. I want to know where this army is going to be. I want to know this thing or that thing or whatever. And they were able to go and gather that information. And we read in the scriptures, sometimes they'll say something like, well, I didn't know, and then I prayed, and then I got the answer, and now I know, right? And that's kind of where we want to be able to get to, is to the point where we can ask the question, get the answer, and not just an answer like a warm, fuzzy feeling. That's kind of a lower, easier answer, and more oftentimes confusing. You know, did I feel good, or was that the ice cream I ate? Am I in love? Or is that really a revelation? You know, there's some things we want to be able to get more clear and defined information responses. The next thing to consider is that as masters, I'll try not to move around so much.
No, that's all right.
Okay. So as masters, we have tools at our disposal, right? We have our eyes, we can see. We have our ears, we can hear. We have our physical bodies, our spiritual bodies, our emotional bodies. And the goal isn't to get rid of the vehicle, it's to utilize to its full potential. Okay? We want to be able to see as clearly as possible, hear as best we can, so that we can discern everything. And a lot of that comes down to knowing your instruments as well as you can. And sometimes the very subtle nuances are where the keys are found. When we talk about soul contact, the reason everybody struggles to do it is because it's a very nuanced thing. We've got to dial it in to be able to say, yes, that was truly soul contact, or this wasn't. We learn to recognize the symbols, the signs, the experience, to the point that we can become confident in our ability to say, yes, that's soul contact, no, that's not. But as a master, the goal is to be able to do that, to master your instruments, okay? Master your instruments. This feeling, this emotion, this, oh, that was the cream pie I had for lunch. This feeling and that thing, oh, that is something more important, okay? Now, a lot of people get it in their mind that the goal is to get rid of their body, get rid of their tools, get rid of their instruments, and return back to a source position, which means we have less to work with. The reason we are here is because we gained something and we wanted to have these experiences, or we wanted to be able to interact in this physical world, but we haven't truly left anything behind. And that's the key right there, is that we haven't left behind anything that we had before. We've added to it. We have the emotions, we have the physical body. And the goal is to be able to use all of our tools at the same time. So while I'm communicating with you, I want to be aware of my emotional state. I want to be aware of the input I'm receiving from source, and make sure there's no fan. I might be sticking my hand in something. I want to make sure that that I am using all of it at the same time, so that I can be a spiritual being and a physical being and an emotional being and a whole person, right? So that's the goal, is to be able to do that. Now, because the physical world, or what we might call the gross world, is so demanding of our attention, it can be difficult to focus on those lesser energies, those more subtle things. The spiritual is more subtle, less demanding. And so we have to be able to learn to put the physical aside so that we can listen to the spiritual and become so familiar with it that when we have the physical, we're aware of the spiritual as well. The goal isn't to get rid of something, it's to be able to integrate it all together at the same time. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we want to master the physical body, master the spiritual body, master the emotional body, and integrate it all together. And then we also want to be able to master the powers of heaven, which are based on the principles of righteousness. Before we can do that, the powers of heaven are based upon the principles of righteousness, but specifically interacting. So if we are reaching out to, say, a plant or a tree, and we're asking that tree to do something within its realm of capability, and we say to it, I would like this. We have to be able to communicate with that. Now, we don't communicate with plants through our mouths and through our physical body. We have to communicate with them through our spiritual body. Back through the one principle. We have to be able to connect into that oneness to be able to communicate to a plant, rock, tree, water, whatever it is. If we're going to say, I'd like to experience walking on water, and you're talking to the water, you need to be able to communicate with that water and then follow the principles of righteousness. Now, we can't do that in our physical body. Definitely can't do it in our emotional body, but we can do it if we tap into the oneness and use our whole selves. Okay. All of the powers of heaven, these amazing things that the masters do, are based upon being able to interact with the whole soul, the whole self. So now that we've kind of covered some of that background information, I want to talk about creating and receiving ideas or having experiences. Okay? We talked about how in order to become a master, we have to pay attention to the subtle things. And I'm going to show you one of these that you'll see it very quickly and very clearly, but it's a very subtle thing to kind of give you an example of what we're looking for. Right? So if you... when we are creating ideas and creating information, we have one experience. If we're receiving ideas and receiving information, we have a very different experience. Now, most of us go along our day and we don't pay attention to the difference between receiving and creating. And so we just go about our day doing it, not realizing that it's a very different experience. Now, if you take a moment, and this is the experiment where I'm going to show you how to recognize the difference. And the reason this is important is because you want to make sure that in your experiences, you recognize when somebody else is talking to you and when you're creating your own ideas. Okay? If you're sitting there in bed and you're thinking and this idea comes to your mind and you're sitting there saying, wow, did I think of that, or was that like a... revelation or a spiritual experience? How do I know that that's my idea versus somebody else's idea? Okay? So here's how you know. If you take a moment and think of something and pay attention to the effort you have to put in, the sound of what you're creating, the feeling, the energy, right? Think of something to say. I'm going to point at everybody. You tell me when you're ready to say it. Just raise your hand when you're ready to say something. Everybody thinking of something to say? Anything. It doesn't matter what you say. It could be a nursery rhyme. Could be a what you ate for breakfast. Anything.
Raise your hand after you point to us.
No, raise your hand now. Thanks for clarifying. Okay.
Refrigerator.
refrigerator, how much effort did it take for you to think about it?
It took some effort.
Okay. Now, when she was thinking about refrigerator, the effort came first, then the idea, and then the expression. Okay? Effort, idea, expression. Okay? When she's listening to me talk, I'm the one doing the effort to create the idea. I'm thinking of what to say, then I'm expressing it, then she's hearing it and interpreting it, and the effort comes after the idea. Right? The effort for her to understand what I'm saying is coming after the idea has already been received. So, does that make sense? Okay. Right. So, if I say, what was your thought, Tyler?
Banana.
Okay, right? You said, let me think of something. Okay, banana, right? You had this exchange in your mind that came, and then you expressed it, and we all heard banana, and then we said, oh, yeah, yellow thing, long, whatever. We interpreted the idea after it came. Go ahead.
And so one of the thoughts in my mind is building on a project that I've been working on and some ideas of how to do something better on it. And so that it was something that was already in the background of my mind and didn't really take me any effort to come up with it because it's kind of there.
It took less effort because it was a thought you already had.
Yeah.
And like what I'm saying right now, there's a lot less effort. I'm not paying attention to what am I going to say? I already did that part. It is coming out. But I am still thinking first and then expressing. And what your experience is, because I'm the one speaking, you're trying to understand what I'm saying. Your experience is you hear what I'm saying, and then you're thinking and putting the effort into understanding after. Okay? So whether there's a positive entity or a negative entity communicating you with you through the veil or through your spiritual means, you'll recognize the difference between your own thoughts and their thoughts because of the experience that you have. If you are hearing an idea first and then trying to understand it, you can know that did not come from you. It didn't originate from you. If it originated from you, you would have sat there and thought about it, come up with the idea, and then said, hey, I have an idea. And you try to share with somebody. And so... So that's the first part, is we want to recognize when we're generating our own thoughts versus receiving the thoughts of somebody else, especially if they're not physically present. They're communicating to us through a spiritual means. Okay, and that's the first piece, is we want to recognize and understand our instrument, our body, well enough to know this is my experience when I'm thinking of something for myself, and this is the experience when I'm hearing somebody else. Now, in the physical world, I'm communicating using my voice and the sound, and the brain is interpreting it. In the spiritual world, it's happening inside of you. We don't have to use our ears to interpret the sound. There's three schools in the world. One is actually in Logan that teach you how to see without your eyes. They give you a great big pad, you stick it on your eyes, and they teach you how to read a book or walk around, do things. But what they're teaching you to use is not your physical eyes, obviously, because they cover them up. But
you can really read books?
Yeah.
They ought to go for that $1 million psychic prize then.
They ought to. They ought to, yeah.
There's a prize of $1 million for anyone that can prove true psychic ability.
I've heard he actually avoids real psychics.
He what? Avoided that?
He avoids real psychics.
Oh, the $1 million guy?
James Randi.
Yeah. So, yeah, in Europe, I think it's England, they have a bunch of kids and they'll read a book with a big mask on their eyes. And the one in Logan is more of a martial arts type course where it has more of a martial arts vibe.
Oh,
but
really?
But you can hand them something. They can sort colors and tell you what they... But it's a process of learning to use your internal eyes, and that's kind of in the long-term goal. We want to have experiences that are verifiable. If we have just an experience and we learn that there's Martians on the moon and they're green and 3 feet tall and fat, you know, there's nothing verifiable about that. And so it's one of those things you're saying, oh, that was interesting. And you kind of throw it in the back of your mind. But the things that are really useful are things that can be applied, things that are verifiable, something that is connecting the physical world to the spiritual world and giving you more insight and power over that. So the first thing we want to be able to understand, that fine tuning on our instrument, is to be able to recognize when we're receiving information versus creating information, especially when it's all happening inside our head. Once we have experienced that well enough, and you can do it very quickly, you've got that down. Now we need to know, is the information that we've received coming from somebody who is more advanced, more progressed, more enlightened, or somebody who's less enlightened, less advanced, depraved? And in that, there's a couple things that we want to focus on. First is the energy. The energy, if you pay attention to the feeling or the energy of the word enlightened, when I say enlightened, if you pay close attention, you feel a certain energy or feeling. If I say depraved, you feel that drop. Are you guys able to feel the difference in that, right? It's very subtle, but the words themselves have energy and power in them, and we can recognize the difference between enlightened and depraved. And if you can recognize that, then when we're receiving thoughts, you can say, well, is that more closely aligned with an enlightened thought or a depraved thought? Of course, we're on this path, and so if we're here and we receive a thought that's here, it's going to feel enlightened. But if we're here and we receive the same thought, it's going to feel depraved. Right?
What I receive from the word is not the word itself. It's the intention, the meaning you give to it.
Yes.
Your intention. It's not the physical sound of the word. It's the intention you give to it.
This is correct. Okay. Thank you. Did everybody hear that? The intention of the person communicating is what is received. And that's very true. If you guys, has anybody heard of remote viewing?
Yeah.
Anybody experienced it or done it? In remote viewing, they have one of the goals is to get past your conscious mind. So if I tell you, oh, we're going to go see the Titanic, we're going to remote view the Titanic, or we're going to go see what Biden's doing today, right? We're going to do a remote viewing session, and if I tell you what we're going to do, your brain's going to say, oh, here's everything I know about the Titanic. I'm going to make up this idea, and I'm going to insert all sorts of ideas in there that are going to screw up the experience. And so they realized that in remote viewing, that's a problem. So the solution was to, rather than call out an event or a place, they give it an alphanumeric number, and they'll say 69B54, something, six-digit alphanumeric thing, and they will program it using their intention. And the person who creates the number will say, we're going to go remote view this thing, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to tell you the number, but I've programmed, I decided through my intention what this means. And then we go through the remote viewing session, and you go and see what that is. And it takes you to some place, and you start describing it, and oh, come to find out it's Saturn, or it's the Titanic, or Biden's office, or whatever it is.
They have pretty good success of more than one person seeing the same thing.
What they found, yes, what they found is that the bias and the individual person has a lot to do with what they're seeing. And so they'll have a whole bunch of people see the same thing, and then they'll look for the commonalities between them, and that's the thing. But a lot of times people will start describing something, and they'll say, okay, it's cold, it's dark, I'm on a boat, there's ice in the water, people are scared, this is happening. They'll describe the event, and then they don't know if it's Titanic or the Lithuania or the who knows what. Sometimes they'll be able to see the sign on the boat or different things. It depends on where you are. Since we're kind of talking about it already, a lot of things are come across to us in a way that is symbolic. And so one of the big mistakes a lot of people make, you'll see it all over the place, is that they will see something, they'll have a vision, and they'll say, this was literal. This is exactly what it was. Okay. And one of the things, for example, that is a common one is Joseph Smith's first vision. The whole church takes that as a literal experience as opposed to a vision, a symbolic vision. And what we find out is that it was a vision, it was a very symbolic thing, and understanding and interpreting the symbols is extremely important to do. If we take the experience and say this was absolutely literal, it was this thing and everything was fact, you know that whoever is doing that is incorrect. They're missing it. The symbols can be very defined and literal, or they can be very, but they are always symbols of something, even if they are symbols of what they are. So if I have an apple and I see this apple, it could be that it's symbol of an apple, or it could be symbol of something else. The other piece to that is that the symbol is specific to the person who had the experience. So if I think an apple is one thing, and you think an apple means a different thing, and you interpret my experience from your point of view, you're going to get it wrong. You have to understand that the symbols are from the point of view of the person having them. An example of that is Rebecca once had, if you're familiar with Lehi's dream in the Book of Mormon, there's a vision. Lehi has this vision full of symbols. Nephi has a vision following it, which interprets the symbols. And they're very relevant to the time period and the experience of the people having the vision. Well, Rebecca had a vision one time where she was riding on a motorcycle, and there was a basketball court, and there were canyons, and there was all this stuff that was relevant to her. She grew up on in the canyon lands. Her parents owned a motorcycle shop. She rode motorcycles every day. Basketball was a fun thing. There were things that were related to her, but when we went through the interpretation of the vision, it came out to the same interpretation as Lehi's dream. It was Lehi's dream for her. But if we tried to take the vision and said, look, Lehi, he doesn't know what a basketball court or is a motorcycle, it wouldn't make any sense to him. So when we receive information, we have to realize it's very specific to us. And so if we want to help interpret it, it has to be from the person's point of view that received it, because it's using symbols that are to them. In the scriptures, it says that the Lord speaks to us according to our own understanding, and that is very true. Okay, so recognizing information from a higher and more enlightened source or from a lower depraved source, we have the energy spirit. Greater thoughts and insights, awareness, something that we say, wow, I never would have come up with that. This is an idea that is new. new concept to me. I never thought of that. It's outside of something that I came to myself. It always leads to greater freedom, independence, as opposed to the words I wrote down were subservience and dependence. So if and this is true of anybody, if you're looking at a teacher and they're teaching you something and they're saying, here's a solution, here's an answer to a problem, and if that solution means you have to depend on them more, then you got to question the person and say, okay, they're swapping one problem for another. They're not actually giving you the tools to solve the problem for yourself. Dewey is teaching you how to have soul contact as opposed to telling you the answers, right? Somebody who's giving you the answers, the end information, and not teaching you how they got the information, they're creating dependence on you. And so you always want to look for, recognize if somebody's creating dependence or freedom, independence. And then when we're communicating with any entity, whether they're physical, spiritual, beyond the veil, it's all the same. The rules don't change. A lot of people will have a spiritual experience and they'll say, because they had the experience, it must be true, or it must be good, or the entity that communicated with me through the veil must be worth following just because they did it, right? That's not really the case. It's the same way we talk with other people. So if you see a bum on the street and they say, hey, I've got this message for you, and you hear the message, and if it's enlightening, if it's freeing and independent, you say, wow, that's a good message. If you're talking to the president or prophet of a church or a pope or a leader, and they say, I've got a message for you, you hear the message, and if the message is freeing and enlightening, you say, wow, that was a good message. And you don't get caught up on people or positions. It's the same thing with the spirit world. Just because some spiritual entity decided to take some time and hang out with you for a bit doesn't mean you become dependent upon that being or that entity. It's the same thing. And you don't just accept anything that you receive through the veil as if it had... because I received it and it was this special spiritual experience, it doesn't mean that it is the end-all, be-all, let's go down this track. You have to still go through your due diligence to make sure that it's worth following, accepting, incorporating into your being. And then the last thing is the information that comes from higher sources aligns with the principles of peace. We haven't talked about the principles of peace, and I don't have time to go into it. But if you think the principles of righteousness, freedom, equality, independence, there's certain principles that make us better people. Love. You know, if something you receive causes you to feel fear, unempowered, hate, you're going to say, wow, okay, the fruit of that experience is not so good, right? If something causes you to feel more enabled, more powerful, more connected, more at one with others, right? If it is causing you to go to war with other people, it's probably something you would consider twice before you accept. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you would reject it entirely. Sometimes war is sometimes you got to pull Hitler off the seat. You got to disempower Hitler, right? You want to make sure that you're aligned with the principles of peace and the principles of righteousness as best you understand. Okay, so with all of that information, right, now we're ready to have the experience. Now, I've learned this specific technique. You guys can can do it anytime once you've learned it. I'll walk you through the process. But I've learned this specific technique first because I had an experience. I had a particular vision in which I met with Christ, and he healed me in a way that I couldn't be healed, or I didn't feel like I could be healed through physical means, doctors and professionals. And I said, wow, this was such an amazing thing. I want to learn how to help other people experience this. And so I spent about 15 years learning different modalities of doing different things. I learned about remote viewing and a whole bunch of different modalities. And eventually I said, well, I said to God, well, this stuff isn't working. It's not doing what I'm wanting to do. How do I do it? And at that point, I had enough determination to get the answers. And so I was taught how to put all these different components together into what I'm going to teach you. One of the things that if you are doing a meditation with somebody else, they might say, okay, you want to clear your mind, and you want to do this, and you want to do that, and you can get different results or different experiences. My meditation is specifically for getting information, learning, growing, developing, communicating with higher life forms. And I haven't yet found the limits. If you want to use it to do past life regression, you can do that. If you want to do remote viewing, you can do that. If you want to read the Akashic Records, you can do that. If you want to visit with some being or master or higher form of life, you can do that. If you want to experience oneness, you can do that. And I'll walk you through some of these. So usually when I'll do a meditation with somebody, a guided meditation, it is, I'll have a goal or a target. Like maybe they want to rewrite some subconscious programming because they're hitting some limit or they've got some kind of issue. And I'll work with them on resolving some issue, and so that they subconsciously are doing something that they want to do that they aren't doing. But in this, I struggled to figure out, what should we do? What can I show them that would be a really good experience in this meditation? And I decided to do kind of a party platter. We'll do a couple of little things to show you what you can do. But the important thing to realize is that I'm a crutch. I'll walk you through the process, and you'll experience my method or my modality, but I'm the crutch. The goal is to get me out of the way and for you to have the freedom to do whatever you want. Now, if I give you the freedom to go anywhere, do anything, see anybody, past, present, future, where would you go? What would you do? I can't tell you that. It's too broad. Most people will just sit there and go, what do I do? Well, why don't you tell me what to do? You know, because it's too broad. There's too many possibilities, right? But the goal is for you to be able to get comfortable enough to say, I think I'll do this. I think I'll go do that. I would really like to experience this. And so as I'm kind of leading and guiding, realizing that I'm the crutch, I'm the problem, we're gonna run into two main issues. The first one is, because you're listening to me, it's difficult to let go and be fully engrossed in it while keeping one hand out listening to me, because you're trying to hear what I'm saying, and we're trying to do it as a group. And so if you get to the point where you say, oh, I can just let go, and I'm going to go do this, and you'll notice my voice just trails off, and all of a sudden I become non-existent, you're fully engrossed, that's great. Go have fun. Play. Experience it. You know? But a lot of people, especially in their first couple times, they're like, well, how do I navigate? How do I move around? How do I find stuff? So I'm going to give you information that will help you to figure out how to get help. I'm also going, so you're free to go do anything you want. If you say, I want to go do something and I'm going to leave Philip, that's cool. Now, I also would recommend that you set time limits. And this is just on my own experience. You'll hear me give out time limits. One of the things that I want you to be able to experience is how fast you can process information. It's incredibly fast, amazing. You can live every moment of a lifetime in about 30 seconds. Just from birth to death, and remember every single bit of it. We have the capability to do that. So I want you to be able to experience how quickly you can process and remember information to the point that after the experience, I can say, tell me about the key highlights in your lifetime, or what was it like being born, or what was it like when you died, or what was the main synopsis of the lifetime, or whatever it is. So you can process information very, very quickly, or you could go very slow. And when I guide, it's extremely slow because we're dealing with the physical world, and I'm trying to tell you, here's what to do, and okay, now try this, and are you stuck? And what you need to remember is that you're never stuck. You think you're stuck because you can't think of a question or you can't think of a solution. That's what gets you stuck, is your inability to guide and direct yourself. If I'm guiding you and directing you, I have a lot of experience. I could be able to say, yeah, have you thought about asking this or doing this or something like that. There was a lady that I was working with one time, and she was meeting with Christ, and she said, I just wish this was real. She was having just an incredible experience. And so I said to her, tell him that. She told me that. I said, well, tell him. Communicate that to him. And so she communicated that to him. And he smiled at her and touched her on the chest, and her whole body just, she thought she was going to die from joy. It was just this explosive, and she kind of cried out, and then she was like, oh, because he stopped as soon as she had experienced that. She stopped, and then she was like, oh my gosh, it was just so intense that I wish it could have continued more, but I didn't think I could physically experience that because it touched all of her bodies at the same time. It was physical, it was emotional, it was spiritual, and it was such an intense, powerful experience that she couldn't contain it. And Rebecca and I, just as a side note, Rebecca and I experienced something years ago where what she described we recognized, because we kept having that experience and kept shutting it off because it's so intense. You feel like you're going to die from joy and rapture or whatever it is. But we kept shutting it off, and we said, you know what? Let's just give into it. Let's see what happens if we give into it. Just face the fear and allow that to proceed. And so we're sitting in our kitchen and we give into it, and all of a sudden our bodies start glowing and it looks like we're on fire and our faces are amber, and then we start to see through each other. And it was a really cool physical experience as well as spiritual experience. But anyway, so So you go through at your pace and you learn and you ask questions. I can't tell you the questions to ask, and if you ask me the question, I'm going to try to turn it around to help you to interact with maybe a person or the environment or whatever, but it's your experience in there, okay? And so my goal as a leader of a guided meditation is to get out of the way as much as possible and enable you to have your experience, okay? So with that in mind, now let's get to the fun part.
Can you do a bathroom break?
Yes, actually. This is very important. This is very important because the very first thing we have to do is take care of all of our body. You know, get a drink, go to the bathroom. I'm going to walk you through some stretches and stuff because we have to take care of the physical body, get it out of the way, appease it. So, yeah, go to the bathroom.
I'll stop this for a second.
Cool.
There is a series.
I know, that's what I said.
There is a TV series that uses this time of the
as a
motive, as a repeating motive. Yeah.
Yep.
11/11 right now. 11/11 on 11/11.
No, 9/11.
9/11. 9/11. Yeah, I was thinking there's too much to cover in that first. I was aiming for 45 minutes. Well, actually, I was aiming for
11 minutes. A little more. A little bit more than that.
But it ended up being 45 minutes. Because we started late.
Oh yeah, but you still, you got it.
I know.
Well, how long is this next part going to be?
There's one thing that my parents have found that there are a hierarchy of Christ being the center of the church. And sometimes people have visions, but they have no knowledge. They think they saw the Christ, but there are many, many great ones who would come.
You know, I had a experience in Austin where I got really sick, and I was my companion and I were just absolutely on fire. Not successful in a mission, but very successful in a spiritual.
I don't have a picture of her. She goes anonymous on Facebook, but she's there. I don't know why she's not here.
I got really sick.
How do you spell that?
So I went up to
the revelation. Last name.
Oh, yeah. I was here, Dor was here, there was a change in the area, the stairs went down, and the window was on fire. It's just a wall. So I go upstairs, so I lay down, and my companion is doing different things and studying and things. And he felt like, I want to know if I make my own relationship. And he decided he was going to pray and figure out how to slow the wheels down and he starts praying.
He goes on
and as he's praying, this looks like here's something standing outside of the apartment. Not visible to the physical world, but I could see something about that. I'm unconscious. And so, in my mind, I see this being floating in the air, just really orange. I can't see the features, but I recognize that humanoid shape, like a man, and just brilliant white. And this conduit of light comes right past me and surrounds me. And I hear the whole prayer and the whole exchange. I hear everything that's being said. So my companion gets these 10-dot points. Here's what you need specifically to do in your calling last night. He gets up and he starts writing this prayer to his kids, and he's missing three. So he tries.
So did the woman at the
organ
pulls
around, goes
to the
bathroom.
Is Jonathan
something?
He's got ready for bed.
He's got
Everything that's beginning and the end. Right through the floor. I was aware of it. So I saw him grab the door and open it, actually this way, and he walks in, and as he walks in, I'm still unconscious, and I said, wow, that was the most.
He's had some revelations that were wrong. And so he prayed.
Well, yeah, that's why I got kicked off, because I said, he said the revelation, the calling of praying.
So
he
did it.
So
he's
like, oh,
well,
what was this?
Yeah,
what bothers me is that
God
was saying, so
then I talked to him later.
Because I was wrong. He changed it.
And one of the other things he asked is, That's the big trap that everybody is.
But that was one where I told her.
No, no.
Back then,
I
had
oh,
it's true. You don't
know.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was hoping it was
open. Yeah.
So it was based on throwing flowers.
So what I can't figure out is why sometimes, you know, why that 20% is wrong. Like, so I agree with you here. I'm like, well, if the 20% is happening, then I
can't because it's a problem. Not even God.
Then you're wrong.
Yeah, says God knows the beginning from the end.
I agree. That's how I did.
So John, on his pure revelation, I have a friend.
Well, you have it on.
I think I'll do some more.
No, I started it.
Well, I mean, I
just started it.
Oh, maybe there's a vacation tomorrow night.
And then you know
what
you're
We looked all over and looked at what they couldn't find it, and I just said, and mom, as soon as she finished, she immediately knew who it is.
Oh, yeah.
On the plane, driving me nuts, leave me alone.
I really hope that
because for 4 months,
that's really good.
Yeah, so for 4 months, she said,
there's some
Everybody ready?
And my brother was just looking through things, open the same place.
It's not
moved
right.
Until thinking of the word.
All right.
So she had
what
I didn't know deep enough.
Cool.
So yeah, those are really one of those verifiable things.
JJ?
Yeah. I think this went to sleep.
The screen keeps going to sleep.
Yeah, I think the screen's just to sleep.
Must be have.
It looks dead with no lights on.
Oh no, but plug the thing in.
It has to have a way to keep it from getting going to sleep. But it has on side.
I don't know if it will change the lighting. You found it over there this morning?
Here it is.
No, but it will.
Larry needs to know right now. How well these lovely pictures that he loves so much.
If he can see them and he loves them, I'm okay with it.
Yes.
Only if he loves them.
Are you okay with them?
Pretty bright too.
They're pretty
bright. He loves them, right?
He sees them.
Bright pink shoes. Right now she's like, should I buy them or not? I don't know.
Buy him and let him deal with it.
Okay, so when we're doing a meditation, it really doesn't matter where you are. If you're really good at it, you can do it anytime. Rebecca's actually better than I am at actually doing it. She can just do it while she's awake and talking, and you wouldn't even know she's doing it.
Because she's female.
Yeah, but I'm better at guiding other people than she is. So we make a good team.
So if I tune out when you're talking to me, I went into meditation.
Now some people, I've talked to some people, they'll be driving in their car and they've had a vision while they were driving in their car, and it works. You know, sometimes you're driving in your car and you get from point A to point B and you don't remember everything that happened between it, right? There's your subconscious mind is kind of, you tell it where you want it to go and it just does it. There's a book Rebecca and I wrote a while ago called The Mental Science of Success, and it's about how the subconscious mind works and the conscious mind and how you can program your subconscious mind to do things that you want it to do so that you don't have to think about it. And the idea, I'm just kind of wasting time while it gets set up. But the idea is that your conscious mind can only comprehend about 2,000 bits of information every second. But your subconscious mind processes 2-something billion bits of information every second. So in 1 second, your subconscious mind can process more information than your conscious mind can in an entire year. So the vast difference between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind handles your blood pressure, it handles your breathing, it handles your emotional hormones and all that kind of stuff. But it also does all that stuff that you do repetitively, like driving. So you train up, you create a program, here's how to drive, and you've got your car, and your subconscious mind kind of runs the program, so you're not actually thinking. After you've learned how to do it enough, you don't have to think about putting your foot on the brake when you see a kid run out in the street. You just do it, and then you realize what happened. And your subconscious mind will do things, and then sometimes it tells your conscious mind what it's doing, and sometimes it doesn't, based on some criteria that you can set. Anyway,